The Boston Public Schools have been locked in a battle with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, and it's over how long the Curly K through 8 school in Jamaica Plain can offer remote learning after the school shut down due to a severe COVID outbreak. Okay, it's a technical fight about how many days of instruction will count. Boston wants 7. The state's only granting 4. But at its heart, it is a power struggle over local control by a school district, even parents and families, versus the state. The Boston Teachers Union, well, it is siding with the Boston Public Schools. Here's Union Vice President Eric Berg.
I want to be teaching in person every day. But when our public health officials warn about the safety of doing so, we need the state to listen.
At the end of the day, though, and really all through every day of a closure, it is the parents and the kids who are living it. Krista Magnuson is a parent of a sixth grader at the Curly School and joins us now. Krista, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how has this temporary shutdown been going so far, Krista?
I mean, it's been all right for my family in that we are in the lucky position of having, you know, parents who either work from home or work mostly from home and are free to supervise our child. It's a little stressful, you know. My kid is an extrovert and is not super psyched to be at home doing remote learning right now, but it's manageable.
How many days of remote learning has he had so far?
This is the third. Yeah, they were closed for 2 days last week plus a holiday and then today.
And there are going to be 7 altogether, correct?
Yeah, it'll be the rest of the week.
Is he going to go just bonkers?
Well, you could argue that he's lightly bonkers already, so that's an unfair to place all that on the school. But he'll be okay. He is, you know, it helps to be able to see his classmates on Zoom, and of course, like then he and his friends after school do the same thing. They get on their phones or on Zoom and participate in, you know, video games and whatnot with each other at that point.
So, Krista, I wondered, you know, as the outbreak begins to spread and it's starting to look like the school is going to close down, and then you hear the school is going to close down, does it feel like a slow-moving nightmare? Did it ever occur to you in the fall that you might actually be back to remote learning with your kid at home?
Honestly, absolutely it did. Because after school got underway, you know, I think some schools were, you know, not having staffing issues in terms of handling pooled testing and rapid testing, but some schools were, and this isn't, you know, that information has been traveling the parent network for some time. And so it did seem plausible that at some point, at least some schools would need to take a break to get back on top of things.
Was your son testing regularly through school?
He was. It does seem like the Curly was doing a pretty good job with pooled testing. It's just unfortunate that, you know, they didn't have the capacity to keep on top of the rapid testing for the test and stay program. I don't know, like they were, at one point they were trying to deliver 500 rapid tests a day, which is, you know, more than half the school population, and that's just not tenable.
So have you been happy with the way the school, I mean, we're going to dive into the policy gnarliness here now, but I want to start with, as communication started to flow, were you happy with the communication you received? When did you find out the school was going to be closing down? How much notice did you have? Do you think the school should have done anything differently? Sort of size that up for us.
We didn't have a lot of notice that the school would close down. I don't think anybody got a lot of notice.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what does that mean? Is that 12 hours? Is it 3 days?
Oh, it was last Tuesday afternoon, I think, around 1 o'clock, that we were informed that school would not be happening the next day.
Okay. All right.
So
you're talking about a short turnaround. Okay. And I'm sorry, Go ahead. You were going to give me your read on how it unfolded.
I mean, it's one of those situations where it's really hard to criticize the Curly leadership for anything they did, because they were responding as best they could with the information that they were given, with the guidance that they were given, with the staffing and tools that they were given. Obviously, we would have liked, you know, to have more lead time, but if that's not a decision you make and then put off for 2 days either. Once you make that decision, that means it's time to close school. So you're never going to have, like, much more than, I would guess, a 12-hour turnaround on a decision of that nature.
So, you know, I know you know, Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and Commissioner Riley have said, hey, you're planning on 7 days of remote learning. We won't count all seven as qualified instruction. We'll count four. There's been real back and forth on that, especially after the Boston Public Schools have said we cannot stand up the testing capacity we would need to in time to bring kids back sooner. How are you feeling about DESE, about the state policy here and how it is interacting with your school?
Honestly, I'm angry. I think DESE is making a decision that is rooted in distrust of our teachers, which I find really disrespectful and not actually fair based on the level of teaching that they managed to provide all through last year and over the entire course of the pandemic. My experience as a parent and as somebody who, you know, pays attention in education spaces has been that they have done an astonishing job, especially with the tools available to them. And in this instance, you know, they had very little turnaround time to throw something together and to pull their remote learning tools back out of the closet and employ them. And I'm just genuinely very grateful to them for the level of instruction that they're able to provide.
And when you say that you think that, you know, the state doesn't trust them, do you mean doesn't trust that they'll deliver the equivalent of 7 days of quality content the way they would if it were in the classroom?
Right. That is what I mean. I mean, I think, of course, you know, the idea that we want our children to be in the classrooms and that's the best possible experience, I don't disagree with that. But I do think given the parameters and then the, you know, serious public health crisis we find ourselves in, it is unreasonable to cut corners on a quarantine time. And the only, you know, reason I can think of that, it just seems rooted in a deep distrust of our educators.
What about concerns about learning loss, special needs students, kids who don't speak English as their first language, and the challenges of remote learning for them?
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to be, you know, dismissive or flippant about those concerns. Those are obviously huge. And those kids especially suffered throughout the course of the pandemic as it, you know, they tried to figure out how to deliver appropriate education to those kids. It's just, you know, in the end, a sick kid can't learn at all. You know, a kid who has COVID who gets really sick or even doesn't get really sick, but just loses that sort of attention ability, or who ends up with long COVID even, that's going to impact their educational experience as well. And so I just think you have to do your best to keep the kid healthy first and above everything else.
So I don't mean to be glib with this next question, but as a parent with, you know, your experiences with your child, is there a number, is there a tipping point where it's too much time at home, it's too much remote learning, and it's worth some risk to be back in school because of the impact of being out so long? And do you know, is that, you know, roughly, is it 2 weeks? Is it a month? Is it half the year?
That is a good question. I mean, I do think that tipping point exists. I think it's probably a little different for each kid, which makes it hard to, you know, administer yeah. to a large school population. I don't think it's 10 days, which is a very reasonable quarantine time, in my opinion. You know, it's definitely not 10 days for my family and my kid. I want to be like cognizant of the fact that for some families, this is a much more difficult thing to do. Less flexible work, you know, or not able to be at home with your kid. That's also part of why I think it's so important that we follow an entire 10-day quarantine period, because for those families who, you know, are going to have to partner with another Curly family and put their kids together or leave their kids with a grandparent or a neighbor or something like that, that isn't strict isolation, or that don't have the easy ability to get their kid tested after the initial period has gone by, you know, that's part of why we don't cut corners on the quarantine, is so that it encompasses all those parameters and all those families and our different abilities to respond and keeps all our kids as safe as possible.
All right. That is Krista Magnuson, a parent of a child at the Curly K-8 in Jamaica Plain. Krista, thanks for being on the show. Good luck with the rest of the remote learning.
Thank you.